peace that passes all understanding. I found a river where the healing waters flow. I found a joy that only comes from knowing Jesus. I found the lover of all my soul.
were singing about peace that passes all understanding. Jesus said he give us his peace, and his peace passes all understanding. Last Wednesday we was talking about storms in life, and which we all have them, we all go through them. But it's wonderful when you can find peace in the midst of your storms, because you can be in places where there is no peace, around people that are not even seeking peace. But I'm thankful that I'm in a place today where people inviting the Lord in, to where we can find peace for whatever may be troubling us, you know, whatever our storms may be. I like singing about the Lord, because that second song talking about, it's in Book of Psalms, I know. I'm trying to think of the words on now. But anyway, it's talking about Jesus in his presence, yes. When we begin to get in the presence of the Lord, and that's also where we can find his peace, is in his presence. That's fullness of joy. And the pleasures of the Lord forevermore. That's when you get in his presence. You know, I'm thankful that I'm in a place, in a church, that entertain that thought, you know, being in Jesus' presence. Because, you know, we can just come here, sing, go home, maybe have some words. But we try to work in such a way that we want God to be where, in our midst. You know, we invite the Lord. We want to entertain his, say, entertain strangers. You may entertain angels unaware, you know. So, you know, you're not just doing this, you know, for yourself, you know. But we're wanting to God's presence here so that we, that other people may feel it. You know, I thank God for when I feel the Lord, but I want other people to feel his presence. When they come here, I like for them to feel that they've been to church. They felt the Spirit of God touch their lives, and that's what it's all about. I mean, I can go out here and go to a ball game, get all excited, but when I leave, I left all of that. But when we leave with God's presence in our life, we take him with us. You know, we don't just leave him at church, but we want to take God with us. So that's when, you know, he touches our life. When God, his presence is there to be able to touch us in such a way that he can reside with us through the week. You know, when even when the hump day come, you know, when the midweek come, when it seems like, you know, can I make it the rest of the week? You know, his presence still can be there to help you make it the rest of the week. So I'm just so thankful today that we're in a place that we entertain the Lord, and we want him, you know, to be here. We want his presence, and we entertain that thought that God can be can dwell in our midst, and we want him to. So it's good to be here today and to reach out to the Lord in a way that I really felt the Spirit of God here today, and felt him helping us and touching his people, and that's wonderful. And I hope you felt it. We do have visitors. We're blessed to have visitors to come by and be with us, and. Got a young lady here sitting over there by my wife. Her name is Christina Oates, and I believe this is her first time maybe being here. God bless her. And then I get these names right here, Jackie and D'Angelo. Jackie and D'Angelo and their son, was it Jamal? Jamal. I'm saying Jimmy-o? Jimmy-o. Okay. Jimmy-o. Okay. Good to have them. All right, and then let's see. Brothers and sisters Goforth. Yes, they, I don't know what, good to have them. I know at one time they was looking our direction, so I don't know, they may still be. Hopefully they are. And,
put a bed on the house this week.
Wow, okay, very good. I hope you. You'll get it. I hope you get it. All right. And got Jasmine, Sister She's a granddaughter of Sister Watson, my neighbor next door. I don't see her much, but she's my neighbor. Jasmine's here. And then the Gaylors, of course, they've kind of got they got a place. The Gaylors, I'm getting that right now. I don't see Brother Gaylors here. He had to leave, okay. But anyway, pray for him. I know we need to keep him in our prayers. And
local job,
yes. So you won't have to be on the road. But it's good that they're settling in. They're making this their home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if we're going to pray, I know that the Durhams, I don't know if they're supposed to be back today.
They'll be back tomorrow.
Tuesday. All right, remember them. Pray that God will be with them. Keep his hand up on them out there. Sister Linda. Sister Wilkins and Sister Angie Perry. She had a procedure, surgery. All right, pray for them. And how's Junior doing? Okay. Remember him. Remember Brother Ray Valdez. And, all right. Yes, ma'am. Henderson, okay, remember. Sister Cynthia Henderson. Pray for her. Yes, ma'am. Sister Rice. Yes. Yes. She need our prayer. She really does. And I know Brother and Sister Hutchinson went to visit them. Some people talked to her. So let's remember Sister Rice. She's not able to be here. All right, Sister Lisa. Your ears, all right, Sister Jennifer. Okay. All right. Remember. Yes, sir.
Got several job interviews and stuff.
Okay.
The work bid, and I'm really needing something right from the students.
Okay. Brother Mike, a couple of job bids. All right. That he's bidding on. So pray for him that he'll be able to come through for him. Wanaga's brother, Johnny's wife named Ruth. I got to visit with them. I was with him traveling back from some meeting we was coming from. I can't remember, but anyway, he stopped by to visit with them, and I remember meeting his. Of course, I knew his brother, but in meeting his family. So let's pray for his Johnny's wife Ruth today. All right, Brother Shane, your mother, okay, Brother Shane's mother, Sister. Okay. Sister Lacey's mom and her dad. Remember them? And we pray, Sister Ann. Say Gary Henry Hutchinson. All right, remember that request. All right, Sister Jerry. right. You remember that need today, Sister Gail. All right, remember that today. And speaking of knee surgery, I mean, think of Brother Fred Stewart. How's he doing?
He's recovering.
All right, remember, pray for Brother Fred Stewart. It's a painter. I mean, hopefully. Okay. Yeah. Okay. There are lots of needs. Lots of needs. All right. I guess it's Brother Daniels. Ray and Susan Weaver. All right. Remember them. Sister Rattler. Your family. All right. Remember Sister Rattler's family. Sister Abraham. Your family. All right. Remember them. All right. Brother DJ. Okay. All right. Let's pray that they make it. All right. As the ushers coming up, then we'll do the offering. And let's stand and take all these needs to the Lord and pray that God will help his people, and pray that our hearts would reach out to the needs of God's people here today. Yes. Lord, we come before you this day, Lord. Lord, we ask that you help your people in their needs. Lord, help us as we reach out. Each one, Lord, each one. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, we know that you have all power. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we believe you, Lord. Without faith, you are covered. And you just have to touch it. Oh, hallelujah. Each of you, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. It's the will of you, Lord. Jesus. Each one of us. Yes. Thank you.
It feels good in here today. I appreciate the Spirit of the Lord. Him coming in and blessing his people. That's something you can't make happen, you know. You can't just conjure that up. Jesus said that true worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So that's part of it, is the Spirit of God. It's a wonderful thing to have your life touched by God's Spirit. To feel his presence is important. It's important for several reasons. It humbles us down to feel God's Spirit and to yield over to it. It doesn't humble you down very much if you don't yield over to it, but if you'll yield over to God's presence touching your life. One of the things is that when you you feel God's presence, that's, you know, our Creator, the Creator and the life giver of all things. He begins to allow you to feel Him. He touches you with His presence. You can't help but feel that. And one thing, I'd hate to be serving a God I couldn't feel. But your soul reacts to that because it's connection with the Creator of life. Well, even your natural life was created by God. All life, God's responsible for all of it. And when you feel the presence of that life giver, it demands a response. And we ought to all want to respond to that. And I tell people many times when they're praying, I see them start to break a little bit or start to cry. Then I see them pull back, you know, and get control of their emotions. I tell them, don't do that. Turn loose. You need that. You need that touch of God. Let it touch you. Just yield over to it. Let Him give you a refreshing. It'll lift you up. There's nothing feels any better than to yield over to God's Spirit and let it begin to refresh you. It is a refreshing from God, and it'll lift your burden of life. All, no matter what your burden is. I don't care if you've got sin in your life, the burden of sin, it'll just lift off of you. You know, Jesus one time, he just healed somebody, and he said, they got mad at him, you know, because he was a sinner. And he said, what is it easier to say, take up your bed and walk, or to say, thy sins be forgiven thee? And God wants to forgive. He wants to forgive sins. If you'll respond to His Spirit, that's just as easy as saying, God, forgive me. That's just yielding and saying, I need this. I know it's God and I need it, and I'm willing to yield to it. So I encourage people, when the Spirit of God's moving, to come up, move out of your seat. That takes a certain amount of humility. It does. You know, sometimes it's hard to move out of your seat and move up front. We make it easier on people in here because so many of us comes up front, you can just join in the crowd and nobody knows. I remember when I first came to around this people, I got in a meeting and the preachers was in a general meeting and the platform was full of preachers. And I'd never been in a church where people got as free as they get it in here. And it felt good. I liked the way it felt. And I saw people dancing and shouting and getting emotional, and looked like to me they was having fun. And I liked what I saw. I thought, that looks like fun. And I remember the preachers on the platform, they had got to dancing, and we were sitting in theater seats. You know how it is in theater seats. Well, that's so close together, you can't get very free when you're in between theater seats. I mean, you might bend your knees like that, but you better not jump up and down too much, or you'll run into something. And but those guys got to praising God, and the Spirit of God come in that place, and they was singing, and they started turning around. A whole row of them, maybe there's several of them, several rows of them was all turning around, you know, dancing. That's all they could do, just turn around a circle in those, between those theater seats. And they'd turn around, you know, and the guy in front of me would turn around, and he'd look at me and holler, "Hallelujah!" as he'd go around, you know. And I thought, man, that looks like so much fun. I mean, this was my first time. And after they turned, made that little circle about three or four times, I thought as they went around that time, I thought, if they do that again, I'm going to go with them. And the thought hit me, you know. I thought, who's going to know? They don't know me. And who's going to know if I've ever done this before or not? You know, I thought, I can get in on this because they don't, ain't nobody paying any attention to me. They're all having fun. So I thought, I'm sneaking in on this deal. Sure enough, boy, here they came. They come around another turn. I just threw my hands up and said, "Hallelujah!" The old boy behind me, he was standing. I said, "Glory!" And I just come on around. And I'm telling you, when I did that, something broke inside of me. I felt something from heaven touch me. Just, you know, God wants to, He'll let you know. I'm glad that you're rejoicing. I'm glad that you'll respond to my spirit. And I got so blessed that day, just that little circle I made. I didn't make just one. I made it as long as I was making it after that. I said, "Hallelujah!" And that loosened me up. And so the next time they went down front, I just went down front with them. I thought, well, I'm already one of them now. They know I'm in on this deal. I just might as well act like I've been doing this for years. And I'm glad to be in a place where you can be emotional. Jesus said, "Serve the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Well, if you're going to put your whole heart in it, if you're going to put your strength in this, you're going to have to get a little emotional. That's part of you. That's part of your, you know, responding to God. And your emotions is, it's no more than just a reaction of your thoughts. If you've got a praise for God, you ought to let it get out of your mouth. The Bible says, "Let everything that has breath praise God." Praise Him with a loud sound. Praise Him on the high cymbals. Praise Him on the harp. Yeah, Psalms 150. Put it up there for us. God wants us to praise Him. Praise Him in a dance, it says. It doesn't say wait until the Spirit of God, you know, slaps you down, makes you dance, or put you in a spirit, in a trance. It just says dance. Yeah. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with a psaltery and harp. Praise Him with a timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. That's what we got this band up here for. We're trying to do everything we know how to do to praise God. Make a noise, joyful noise unto the Lord. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Brother Joel knows how to do that. I've noticed these other drummers is picking up on that. Praise Him up on the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. So He wants our emotions in this. one place says with a loud voice. And so Sometimes this gets so good you can't hold it all in. You got to let some of it out. But you never will if you don't get started. I believe that's one of the reasons God wants us to speak in tongues when us get the Holy Ghost. He wants us to get to let this out. Get your emotions in it. Let your emotions work in it. Of course, it's also a sign. Paul said it's a sign to unbelievers. I'll tell you, if you don't believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost with speaking in other tongues, you just come up here when a little child gets it and watch that little child speak in other tongues, and you'll know it's real. You'll know there's something real about that. Where is Brother Steve Gaylor? Where's he at? Is he in here? There he is. Hi, Brother Steve. You doing all right? You think speaking in tongues is for real? Yep. He got a good blessing the other night, didn't he? It's up here, he's just stammering lips, and the Bible said with stammering lips and other tongues. He would show himself to these people, and he's talking about the day of Pentecost. And that's just as good today. I had a little Baptist lady come in my church when I was pastoring in Winters, Texas, one time, and she got to reading the Bible. And she was reading the book of Acts. And she went to her pastor and she said, why don't we speak in tongues? Said, it says right here. She read that to her pastor. He said, well, that was far back then. He said, that's not far today. She said, well, why isn't it? Why would God give it to them back there and he don't want us to have it? She said, it says right here. Peter said, be baptized with water unto repentance and receive you the Holy Ghost. For he said, it's for you and for your children and for as many as be afar off. She said, that looks like to me it includes us. Well, he tried to talk her out of it, but the Word of God got in her mind and she thought, what about this? I've got to know more about it. I don't believe him. She said, I believe the Bible means this is for us. So she started asking around, said, where can I find a church that speaks in tongues? Well, some people began to tell her about our church. Said, that little church down there on Dale Street, wasn't it? Said, I go down there. Said, I'm pretty sure those people are Holy Ghost people and speak in tongues. Well, she come in a service one morning and sat down before church started, and we all greeted her. And I could tell she is nervous. And she sat down back there, and we started song service, and it the Spirit of God came in kind of like it did here today, and we all got out in it. And I was getting blessed, and then I remembered her. And I thought, I wonder how she's doing. I looked back there, and she's gone. She left. I thought, oh, God, we ran her off. We scared her to death. Well, sure enough, she didn't come back for 2 or 3 weeks. After 2 or 3 weeks, she came back. And I told her, I said, I'm sorry I didn't get to say goodbye to you last time you was here. She said, well, she said, I've never been in a Pentecostal church. And she said, y'all scared me. She said, I stayed as long as I could. And I said, well, the thing is, you came back. She said, yeah, I want to know more about the Holy Ghost. I said, well, just keep coming and you'll learn more about it. I said, feeling it's part of it. And she said, all right. She said, but now she said, now, you're just going to have to give me a little time. She said, this is all new to me. Well, we started up song service again, and the Spirit of God started moving, and we started praising God and getting blessed. And I remembered her, and I looked back there, and she is going out the door. And it took her, but she came back the next week, and she came back every week after that. But it took her about 8 or 10 services to stay through a whole service. She finally told me, she said, "I made it all the way through today." I wanted to tell her, "Yeah, I was kind of dead too," but but I didn't. You know, it might have been about as much as she could take. Well, she stayed and kept coming, and then she got her kids to start coming. Finally, her husband, he didn't go to church, but he had to come see what was happening to her. And he didn't come very much, and he didn't stay very long either. He'd leave when the Spirit started moving, he'd leave. But I remember when she finally came up front and said, "I want the Holy Ghost." And her husband came up with her. He wasn't even saved. But I remember we was praying for her, and some people were saying, "Hold on." Others were saying, "Turn loose." And they was hollering and praying for her and trying to help her get the Holy Ghost. And I remember her husband, he was patting her on the back. He said, "Betty, just go on and do whatever it is you got to do. Just get this over with." He didn't know what she was trying to get, but he wanted her to go. He'd heard enough about it. It's been going on for weeks, and he wanted her to go ahead, whatever it was, do it. And she did get it that morning. But it got a hold of her life so much, he started coming regular. I never will forget one time we had a meeting, and the place was bulging with people, and the Spirit of God started falling, and he run out the back door. He told me about a year later, he said, "I know you thought I ran off, but I didn't. I run right down the edge of the building, stood by the door on the platform, and listened to the whole service. But," he said, "I was scared to come back in there because it felt like me that building's going to blow up." He said, there was something in there besides just y'all. I said, "You should have stayed." But anyway, the Spirit of God, it's one thing, it's a witness. It's a witness of God. Jesus said one time, he said, "I'm not alone, but there's another one that testifies of me." He was talking about his Father. He wasn't alone. When Jesus began to talk, there was an anointing and a presence of God, and you could feel it. And Paul said that. He said, "I didn't come to you with man words of man's wisdom, but I came in the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit."